sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 123. I don't know, but it can't be this.
I had that kid in my sights. Mm. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Mm-hmm. Couldn't squeeze the trigger.
Preach, Cuddy. Tell him, Cuddy.
Couldn't do it, man.
Couldn't do it.
Why not?
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
Alright. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're gonna put you on a corner, you could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you gonna do?
I don't know. But it can't be this.
Message!
All right, then. We straight.
He's a man in his time, you know?
Yeah. He a man today.
He a man today.
He a man.
Message!
Oh, my God. Tears in my eyes right now. But we got to start the show. So, hey, welcome. Et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. B Dot Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, and a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I would like to welcome back returning listeners. High five all around. And welcome, you new listeners. But I got to give you a heads up that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Hoosier Blues up in this bitch. You know, that's kind of my way of saying this is a black-ass podcast. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is what, November 1st, 2023? It's the first of the month. Wake up, wake up. And this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. Oh yeah, this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Hey, B, you think you're being a little too hard on Whitey? Nah, man, fuck you. What, aren't you paying attention? All right, sorry, okay. Yeah, I'm, So much for first impression. Yeah, we don't think about that kind of stuff on Shut Up Podcast. All right, like I was saying, welcome back, returning listeners. And for you new listeners, just to break it down and get you a little oriented, situated. All right, so on my podcast, I like to break down the episode into three parts. Three acts, if you will. The first act is called the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now. Second act is news and random thoughts. Last act is final thoughts. You'll see if you go in the show notes, you'll notice that it's even the notes are broken down into these three acts. In the introduction, I do shit like, you know, start out with the theme, do a little introduction, break down the kid. Sometimes I, after the theme, sometimes I play some poetry. In this case, I played a movie clip, I played a TV series clip from The Wire, which I will explain later in Final Thoughts. And then I explain what kind of episode, you know, I emphasize the fact. I welcome you listeners and emphasize the fact that this is a black-ass episode. Nice, okay, black-ass episode, but make a distinction that black Canadian. So, you know, if you're one of them racist black people, you're probably telling yourself, oh, you're not really black, but, you know, go fuck yourself. Yeah, you could go fuck yourself with Whitey. And do shit like read out quotes. And today's quote goes, oh my gosh. Sorry, I got this habit of, today's quote goes, your fatigue is real. Okay, sorry, thought, this is a thought. Your fatigue is real. Your overwhelm is real. Your exhaustion is real. Don't feel guilty about needing breaks from the world that was never set up to protect your mental health in the first place. The author of this thought is Michelle C. Clark. And, just real quick, I think I'm going to share this quote and shout out to everyone who grew up with parents who never believed them when they said they were sick. Or never, like, with the kind of parents that you had to be bleeding, throwing up your eyes for them to be like, you know what, you should take a sick day. you know what I mean? You know, pride's a motherfuckers. Okay. All right. This is a little, I might do a, I'm adding this to the introduction, but I'm going to kind of like a grateful journal, but kind of like pat myself on the back because I usually beat myself up. So this is just something a little different. I'm going to pat myself on the back, give myself some props. All right. Because I did something that I'm proud of, right? And it's Wednesday, midweek episode. So that means right after work, instead of just sitting on my couch and watching TV. Not that there's anything wrong with watching TV, but I knew I had a podcast to record. Instead of sitting on my couch and calling Uber Eats after work before recording this podcast, I sacked up. And like a strong black woman, and yeah, I know. Okay, so, like a strong black woman, and I cooked and cleaned for myself to cook something, and shit was delicious with some stir fry with whatever some recipe I got off the internet, and I'm getting better at it. Cooked, then cleaned the kitchen, and like all I got to do is load a few things down the in the dishwasher. And what time is it? 7:49. So I'm not recording too late. Plus, considering the fact that I got to go to bed early because I'm waking up early. Long story. I got a long drive tomorrow. Or a longer than usual drive. But that's not your problem. My podcast, all the tabs that I'll be covering on this podcast are already set up to go. And my favorite part is when I came up with the title of today's episode, it was a quick decision. I have this bad habit of getting stuck in overthinking shit. That's what I like about this podcast. It's an exercise into not overthinking. Initially, the title of this episode was going to be something related to the last verse in Mind Playing Tricks on Me by Bushwick Bill. And then I saw that clip. It just hit me, and that one part that Cuddy says in there Hitman, it became the title. Anyways, all this to say, good work, P-Black. Good work, all right? Good work. Hold on a second. This is, yeah, good work.
Yay!
All right, okay, settle down. Actually, why are a bunch of kids clapping? I meant this one. Thank you. So with this said, this concludes the introduction. Let's jump to news and random thoughts. Are you ready? You motherfuckers ready? All right, let's do this. Oh, that's right. Yesterday was Halloween. Today's November 1st. Yeah, yesterday was Halloween. I hope y'all enjoyed yourself. Shout out to the grown folks. I have a friend, a grown adult, and she went out trick-or-treating. Shout out to her, man. But she wore a costume. That's what counts, a real live costume. That's what, so shout out to her and our homegirl. I thought that was a good idea. And I think this is probably a rare November 1st for me where in my social feed, I don't see anyone, a white person who didn't get the memo about blackface. Every Halloween, I'm always worried when people are putting costume. There's gonna be like one motherfucker. He's gonna be, I didn't know what blackface. What the? It's just paint, you know. And yeah. Anyways, I live in Canada, and yeah, I'm used to ignorant white folks. All right, okay. Before I run down through my rundown sheet, through what the items on my rundown sheet, I need to remind myself and commit myself. I need to remind myself again. I do once in a while in an episode, I'll do this and remind myself that Be Black, it's your goddamn podcast. And that's my way of trying to get myself out of this indecisive loop or overthinking what I think the audience wants and shit like that. And this is my way of saying, be yourself, be yourself. I have this rare handicap where I feel the need to ignore my own desires and focus on or anticipate what other people are doing. So this is my way of saying, cut that shit out. Oh, and another reason why I have to remind myself, hey, this is your goddamn podcast, B, is because while preparing for today's episode, a part of me, I was noticing that I was putting a lot of stuff related to Palestine. I was thinking, hey, B, man, come on. You try to be entertaining. You don't want to be bored. You don't want to scare the host. And noticed that I was putting a lot of stuff related to Palestine, what's going on in Palestine, and the conflict, the war, the genocide in Palestine. You can see which side I'm on, by the way. I just described the conflict. And, part of me was considering toning that shit down. You know, and I actually told myself, yeah, your audience is not going to want to know this. First of all, I don't know who my audience is at the moment. This podcast is an experiment on my own. Two, what the fuck? It's your goddamn podcast. A lot of the stuff that I put on this podcast, I put on the agenda to talk about are things that are running through my mind while I'm out there in the public doing small talk, pretending to be normal. And I'm one of those people who like let people talk. Well, depending who you are, depending on your personality, for the most part, I'm one of those people who just yakety 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 yak. People just love to talk, and then I just let them talk, and I'm like, whatever, get into it, right? And meanwhile, in my mind, I'm thinking about everything that I'm pretty much going to cover, some of the stuff that I'm going to cover, and in today's show. And the other thing too is the empath in me, the highly sensitive part in me. Can't get over the fact that bombs are being dropped and kids are dying. And shit's getting worse in Palestine. From what I've read, the internet connection was killed, or the infrastructure for internet communication, that's gone. And Israel is launching a full scale or a ground attack. That means the soldiers are coming in. The Marines, whatever, the Army, But the ground force are coming in. And they're not coming in like cross guards here, right? They're coming in. I think this is going to be even worse than I was in Ottawa. Okay, I wasn't in the streets, but I was watching it on TV on the internet. I was in Ottawa after during the blockade. And finally, when the government had enough, they brought in the police. They didn't bring in the army. As I said, they fucking had they recruited police from all over the province in Quebec, and put an end to the blockade. Basically, it was like the ground troops coming in, and restoring order. And I remember watching that on computer and thinking, yeah, go in there, man. Establish order. I remember. For the first time, it was a rare moment in my life. I'm looking at the cops like the good guys. But that's not the point. What I'm getting at is the ground forces are coming in. And there's no cameras on them. Oh, there probably is, but it's all friendly cameras. It's people that are on their side. People are all saying, yeah, if you could like crack some skulls. And upload that shit to OnlyFans, I'll pay for that content. Like, what I'm saying is, these soldiers have no reasons to hold back. I can't stop thinking about that fucking shit. Breaks my heart. Made the mistake of waking up in the morning and watching it, and there was some clip leaked, and they were just showing soldiers brutalizing these men. Some of them were naked, one of them was crying. And the soldiers being fucking soldiers, man. Just not in a good way. I mean, like being sociopaths. It's like, fuck, man. Holy shit, you're gonna pay for all the pussy I couldn't get. You know, I don't know what these. I'm saying a bunch of mean guys, probably bullies or who used to be bullied, get to exact their vengeance on these unarmed civilians. There's a lot of atrocities being committed. I'm definitely aware. I mean, I was gonna say this ain't a shot at Israel. I mean, it's a shot at Israel, but it's also a shot. But it's also realistic. That's what fucking war is. You got kids that go to. I actually read the book "What It's Like to Go to War," and you send these kids in there and. Maybe there's gonna be one civil person that's just gonna be like, "Well, come on, easy, back off." They're prisoners of wars, but I know for the most part there's going to be some atrocities being fucking committed. It breaks my I can't stop thinking. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about the version of me that's in there freaking the fuck out. Like. Like I was walking today and I saw this aircraft flying by. It was just a helicopter. It was a noisy helicopter. It was just going for the sky. I'm kind of near an airport. But not that I'm saying that I'm usually hear planes, but it was just a helicopter just cruising by. And the thought just crossed my mind. I'm like, man, that would really suck if that motherfucker was about to drop a missile. I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. I'm on one end, I'm acknowledging the fact how I'm one of the people on this side of the planet that's very lucky. And on the other end, I'm saying, fuck. People going on, the shit going on in Gaza. Look, it's one thing to read about a fucking genocide in a history book. It's another when it's current event. And these are, sorry, car alarm's going off. I was worried it's my car. Yeah, these are one of these times where I'm like, fuck, I don't think I was meant to be part of this life, this earth. Because I'm sure a lot of yous are out there going, whatever, it's just Tuesday, it's Wednesday, whatever, it's just war, whatever, or get over that shit. Me, it's fucking with my head. I feel like Wallace in The Wire. After, what's his name? Is it Brendan? Brendan dies. After he witnesses a dead body and thinks about how he was involved in that. Oh, spoiler alert. Yeah, he was involved in the death of that person and how he was fucking with his head. And no one understood him. And like he's trying to explain how it's fucking with him. And even D'Angelo, who's probably the most sensitive in the group, just tells him, man, stop thinking about that shit. I'm like that. I'm feeling like, I'm just, stop thinking about that shit. It's not fucking helping. It's fucking with me, man. It's driving me nuts. Okay, and I make it worse. It doesn't help that I make it worse that I keep feeding myself this information. Like I'm on social media collecting this shit to put on the show. It's not the show. I'm not going through social media to find content to put on the show. It's just content that I find. I just so happen to say, okay, I'm going to save this. But it's more me that's on social media going through this shit. And I remember just reaching a breaking point. I was reaching a breaking point when I thought about something else I saw on, on Reddit. And someone in it's called the Africa subreddit. Oh, this was a while back. It says, hey, so what other atrocities or genocide are you aware of right now going on in Africa? Fucking, the list was on Sudan. Like there's still a war in Ukraine going on. There's still an invasion going on there. Now you got the shit going on in Palestine. Fucking, it's the genocide. I want to hear the other side, but I kind of need you to stop on the call back on the fucking genocide before I can form an opinion, before I can get myself to, okay, I understand what you're coming from, Israel. The genocide is fucking with me right now, man. Imagine that. I'm trying to picture myself going back to the high school version of me and telling them, and after we learned about the Holocaust. I'm not sure what came first, the Holocaust, learning about the Holocaust in high school or Schindler's List. But I was made aware of it. I'm trying to picture myself going back in time and telling that young self and say, yo, them niggas are going to commit. It's one thing to hear about, you know, them niggas are going to commit their own genocide. I'm sure my first thought would have been, yeah, the fucking Nazis, they get them back. They caught the motherfuckers back to, nah, Palestine. Arabs? The fuck they got against Arabs? Granted, I didn't know Arabs. A lot of, I don't know, Lebanese folks, but Lebanese people. There's a chance I would have known where Palestine was. Wait, hold on a second. I was just knowing it's in the Middle East. And that's another thing, you know. There's no Palestine, but there's Palestinians. You know what? Okay, I'll get off of it. Anyways, this went longer than I intended to, but you know, like I said, like I reminded myself, it's my goddamn podcast. So I had to share that. I had to get this shit off my chest. Now that I got this shit off my chest, I got some content. Here's the thing. I'm not gonna go through all of them. Okay, I got some content to go through, but it's only one of them that doesn't have to do with Palestine. So I'm gonna start with that. Before I get into the Palestine stuff, all right? And this one is called None of These Women Are Real. Yo, I think this is another incoming long thoughts, but let me play this. Okay, here we go. None of These Women comes from, I got this from Reddit, TikTok Cringe, and the title is, the caption reads, "This is concerning." And here it goes.
These women, none of these women are real. I talked about this a couple of...
Okay, it doesn't help that you can't see the vision, these images, but it's a lot of pretty women, right? And that's being exposed. Links will be in the show notes so for better context, but I'm still going to play this and comment about it afterwards. Here we go.
A couple of months ago, how we were seeing AI, artificial intelligence influencers, popping up with photos, and it was fake women basically living real lives and trying on bikinis, traveling to Santorini, you know, doing all these exciting things, and none of it was real. Now these photos have become videos, and if you watch these, it is terrifying how real they are. You might look at this and say, oh no, I know that's not real. Remember, this is the worst these videos will ever be. They're only going to get better and exponentially better to the point that it's going to be impossible to tell what's real or what's fake online. And what concerns me about this hyper level of perfection is what is going to be showing off clothes, showing off makeup, doing bikini hauls, and this is what our littles are going to grow up contending with. So be informed, be aware, and be careful on here.
Damn. Okay, I'm before I share my thoughts on this, it's more in the same video they show a little girl in front of a camera and her being what I'm about to say has to do more with my own childhood, and it's completely oblivious of the harm it did for women. I remember the stuff like this would do to little girls or girls growing up. But I was gonna flip it on my side. Is I remember after watching this, and my first thought was, so, these women aren't real. And the reason I say that is because I think about how the person who introduced me, I still can't remember whether it was a magazine someone left near a grade school, a bunch of porn magazine left in a grade school, or whether some kid just brought their dad's porn tape. But I still remember being introduced to pornography at the age of 7. And honestly, never thought that shit would have an effect on me. It's just girls, it's whatever. But I was oblivious at that moment. That first clip. Okay, you know what? Maybe not the first clip. A few, because the first time I'm looking at it and I'm trying to understand why this man is trying to pee inside the thing, the same area where women pee at. Like, I remember watching that, being so confused of what the fuck's going on. Anyways, but I remember at a certain point, that image hit me like a first hit of meth or heroin. And I was addicted. I was addicted. Not necessarily to porn, but the images of fake women, of scenarios that wouldn't. I was addicted to fantasy. It's I should have written this down. Okay, I'll explain why I don't write these things down. But yeah, because if I write it down, then I won't write it down. I was addicted to fantasies, and what I'm trying to say is, I remember ever since then, it was more what was going on in pornography that I was attracted to. Any girlfriend that I got after that point, or any attempt at romance, I didn't understand romance. Seriously, by today's standards, I could have easily been an incel, member of incel. But I remember for me, not understanding the concept or realizing that girls, women, are human beings just as well. Like, to me, a woman was what I saw in pornography. And the rest of yous were just troublemakers. Feminism, what the fuck? It's pretty much everything my feminist friend was saying about us men was so on point. This is just you are right. A lot of what I'm saying is, there's a lot of women who knew me growing up. This is just me saying you were fucking right. I didn't see it. And what I'm getting at is, what I'm trying to get at is, I was so addicted to the fakeness. It took me. I remember it took me adulthood to realize that porn ain't real. There is no such thing as the sexy plumber, or no, there is no such thing as, okay, look, maybe I remember meeting a sex worker, having a conversation with a sex worker. She made me realize, yo, Pay me and I'll be whatever fucking fantasy you want me to be. I'll reenact whatever porn, with safeguards, of course. And I'll reenact all those scenes you want to reenact. But pay me, motherfucker. And what I realized from that, it was more, if there was a woman out there fulfilling some dude's fantasy, that's likely because he liked it. It's either, you know, they're getting paid for it, or this chick actually likes this fucking guy. I grew up with fellas who had me convinced that they could get women to do whatever they want. They were able to get a woman to reenact what they saw in this porn clip. But they made it sound like it was magic, like they were using hypnotic on these people, hypnotism on these women to make it happen. When the truth is, this chick actually fucking liked you and was willing to fulfill your fantasy. Or you paid her to do it. But nothing is, what I'm getting, again, trying to remind myself, is addicted to the fantasy. I thought this fake fantasy world was actually real. That was my pursuit in life. If I was trying to be successful in life, if I was trying to be rich, if I was trying to be powerful, it was just so I could be in a position to make a woman behave like I saw in the, like in the, fuck it, man. Fine, we'll get married without a prenup. Fine. Yes, you're a trophy wife. But that was like the fakeness. This unreal world, this unattainable world was what I was after. That's what I thought. I was addicted to this shit, man. Fast forward to this, and now this woman is saying, yo, these women aren't real. It reminds me of how, there was some story, this news report about it's kind of funny. I mean, it's kind of like cringe, but it's like I wouldn't call it a whorehouse, but like a whorehouse, but with dolls, right? So a man could come in, get a room, and they would set them up with a doll, and, you know, a sex doll, and they could do whatever the fuck they want with it. And I remember thinking, you know, and of course everyone was ridiculing it and shit like that, but I remember thinking that, damn, you must really have some fucked up fantasies in order to have this. Like, I wasn't dissonant. I was like, I understood why someone would go for that shit, for something like that. And I remember one woman saying, yo, this shit is sexist. And I'm wondering, what the fuck? What do you care, man? You want that guy to be outside of the dating pool. You might want him, a guy like that, to just have sex with dolls. You don't want that dude anywhere near no woman. And I'm realizing what she's saying is, nah, man, it's feeding into that idea of this world that is not real being out there. Like, because that same dude after the dog might go after might expect that kind of look. What I'm saying is I understand what she was trying to say about how something like that could be toxic, because you're feeding into the mind of this fakeness. You're feeding this idea of these women that aren't real. Now, it's one thing if you could get a man, let's say I am one of those toxic males that shouldn't be in the dating pool, and fuck it, leave him to these fantasies, leave him to these fake women, let him beat his meat to these AI women. He's not hurting nobody, well, except himself. Yeah, I guess the key word, or the part that I'm missing in here, he's not hurting anyone, but he is hurting himself. I think if there's a point in this, and there's not really a point, except just I shared a thought. If there's a thought in this, it's more this notion of how this tendency on human beings to dehumanize each other. In my case, I didn't see it as anything bad because, again, I wasn't hurting anyone. Nah, sure, I was dehumanizing. Let me put it this way. I think it's, okay, one, dehumanizing women, making it difficult. You know, I think I'm the real victim in this shit. Because the truth is, it just made it harder for me to relate to a woman on a romantic level. Difficult. Like, there's this thing I used to say that, you know, I can be friends with a woman. I can have, you know, I can make arrangements to have sex with a woman. Right? Notice I said make arrangements, not date, like, you know, like make arrangements to have sex with a woman. But what I can't do is combine the two together. Once a woman becomes, it's always been my challenge. Once sex and friendship were connected, someone heard me say that. Said, oh, you mean dating? Yeah, no, that's dating's idiot. Sorry, I had a flashback. Once you combine those two, once you put those two together, it's like I'm out of my league. Like I'm fucking up. I'm in uncharted territory. I'm so used to. No, I've gotten used to putting. For a woman, it's either we're friends, or you're this fantasy in my mind, this unattainable fantasy in my mind, and it ends there. Yeah, hurt myself in there. I hurt. Anyway, yeah, I'm just. You know, I don't have any point. I just remember playing this. My first thought was, so these women are fake. And but the real victims are the girls growing up and thinking that this is what they have to compete with. You know what this also reminds me is I think I had this image on my phone. It was like a picture of a woman drawn, right? But it was like not a sex doll, but it was meant to be like, it was a pornographic image, but cartoon, but drawn, right? And the woman was like perfectly shaped, buxom or whatever. I think, I'm trying to remember the name of the cartoon artist. It doesn't matter, right? And this girl I knew, friend of mine, just noticed that picture. And I remember she noticed the picture. She says, see, I knew it. That's what guys like. You guys like that shit. And that's why I want to get a boob job, whatever. No, sorry. No. This is exactly what she said, you guys are full of shit. On one end, you'll tell a woman, don't get a boob job or don't make changes to your body. And then you'll have pictures like that She was trying to say that you guys like that kind of shit. And me, like a fucking hypocrite, I was like, nah. Because in my mind, I was like, no, be yourself. Men will like you for what you are. No, on one end, I was saying this. On the other end, I was saying, yo, lady, please, please base beauty on what I think is hot. Because I'm in fantasy world. I'm high all the time, man. I live in a world where people are like in high, and I've gotten used to the unattainable. There's no way for me to communicate that. All I remember is to her, she took it as I fucking knew it. I mean, this confirms you guys are full of shit. You'll say you don't want that. You'll tell a woman that you want the realness, but the truth is you'll pursue the. I didn't know in that moment, I didn't realize in that moment, but she was communicating her, not just her insecurity, but that, I guess for women, you grow up, from what I understand, you grow up with this idea that you have to be beautiful, you have to be attractive. I grew up with, you know, don't be a bitch, but yeah, but for a woman, I guess, there's a lot to learn, but I get the impression that the idea of being attractive is fed in your mind, and then when you look for what's attractive, you got magazine cover, basically a whole bunch of pictures that are unattainable, and I imagine shit would drive you nuts. And I feel a little bit bad that I contributed to that. Anyways, well, this girl was a little too, but you know, but still, yeah. You know what? I honestly thought I was gonna say something like I was gonna be like. Groundbreaking, but no, I'm just reacting to a video about this is concerning, and am I going to change? I mean, not anytime soon. I mean, yeah, I am in therapy, but you know, but excuse me, I'm just starting with a little self-awareness here. All right, you know what? I'm going longer than I anticipated, but turns out I managed to find shit that's, okay, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to play this one. It says, what to say to someone if they ask you to condemn Hamas? No, I'm not going to play that. But the bottom line is, in this particular case, the person responds with, yo, stop asking me to condemn Hamas. How about you ask me about the shit Israel's been doing since 1940, 70, whatever. I mean, for the 70 years. Again, it goes back to the notion that, yo, Hamas was not created in a fucking vacuum. Sure, maybe they're considered an extremist. You know what? I've been thinking a lot about this conflict, and there was two ways. Okay, all right. I'm a hypocrite because I don't have the grounds on the boots, but this is me. I'm a dreamer. Whatever, right? I'm a dreamer. From what I understand, from what I've learned, right? One of the options Israel had to quote unquote destroy Hamas or to bring down their membership was not creating situations that would make someone want to join Hamas. If I'm a Palestinian who lost a relative, especially if I'm a teenager, especially as emotional as I can get, sensitive as I am, I lose a fucking relative, or my house burnt down, or I heard about what, or watch my homie get beat down by Israeli IDF. Because I've seen these motherfuckers, man, like the police, the IDF, like even before Hamas did the October 7th, I was watching clips of shit going on in the Gaza Strip, in the West Bank, and these cops, like, because these folks are under occupation. The Palestinians are under occupation, and some of these soldiers aren't really good people. I could picture getting brutalized by one of these soldiers, or watching my friend, or watching my dad, my sister, my mom get brutalized by one of these soldiers, and a motherfucker with a Hamas pamphlet swings by. Yo, we got your back. I could picture, yeah, fuck that. I'm joining. They hit us, we hit them. I'm thinking of Ice-T colors. Same mindset, right? There's like a violence epidemic going on over there, man. It's like, there's a lot of, yo, well, okay, first of all, the beef between these two people go back since, what was the year again? 1940, after World War II, or was it World War I? Okay. A bunch of Jews looking for a place to live, ended up deciding on, it's not that they ended up, is England apparently said, hey, we kind of got Palestine colonized, but I tell you what, you can take that shit over for us. Okay, I'm not clear on the rest of the details, but I know it involves them getting guns and saying, yeah, you might have to clean out a few Palestinians, though. I don't know if they were calling Palestine, but you're going to have to clean out a few people. You can get this plot of land where a bunch of Palestinians are living in, right? You can make that shit your home. And then they came in, expanded, took over the neighborhood, like black folks in a good black neighborhood, not white neighborhood. Oh, except the Palestinians, it wasn't a flight thing. They got kicked out like the Native Americans. So that shit goes, they got beef that goes back decades. Decades. And imagine just, I'm thinking from a Palestinian perspective, right? Okay, look, sure, Israel, they got their death, they got their losses, they got their, it's a back and forth shit, right? Back and forth going on. But I'm looking at it from the perspective of a Palestinian. I can picture being myself, being born, having parents who are like, man, and then fucking Israel, they did this, they did that, and I'm angry, and my dad taking his anger out. I can picture having that, the kind of rage that makes me want to say, hey, tell me more about Hamas. Tell me more about this terrorist group. Or just being near headquarters because I'm dating some chick whose brother is a member of Hamas. Now, they do their terrorist attack, and I'm like, so we fucking, and then missile strikes. because someone in Israel's granddaddy is like, hey, man, we're the, you know, it's, sorry, getting back to the point. What to say to someone if they ask you if you condemn Hamas? The thing with that question is, it would be equivalent to me saying, to me, during, what is it, 1804, and being asked to condemn Toussaint the Duvalier. It'd be in French, right? Some French reporter, I don't know if they, yeah, they had the press back then, saying, hey, do you condemn what's going on, this fucking Haitian Revolution? Are you at your fucking mind? Because I read about the Haitian Revolution. Atrocities were committed. I mean, by the slaves. And as far as I'm concerned, fuck were you thinking? I mean, you enslave a group of people. What did you think was going to happen? I'm not celebrating the atrocities. I'm saying, yo, causing motherfucking effect. You enslave a group of people, they're going to fight back. They're going to snap. I have a breaking point. I'm one of the sweetest human being. Okay, that's I was going to say, I'm one of the sweetest being on earth. That's not true. But I'm a kind person. But I got my limit. I've snapped before because I got pushed to the limit. I just kept piloting it in, and then I just snapped and regretted it afterwards. My point is, any human beings, man, you push it to their limits, they're going to snap. Getting back to what I'm saying, to answering the question, what to say if someone tells you to condemn Hamas? Look, if you really wanted to deal with Hamas, is create the situation where it's difficult for them to recruit people. But no, it seems like Israel says, yeah, that's too hard. What we're going to do is we're going to kill anyone who can think of joining Hamas and Hamas. By the time we're done, there's only going to be enough Palestinians to, like, throw a parade every once a year. Like, this is going to be their Palestinian History Month. And we'll sit there and go, oh, it's a shame what happened to your people. It's a shame. We could be leaving. Well, we regret what happened to them. You know, we've learned from our mistakes. We're not going to do this again. I mean, that's terrible. But that's why I don't believe in Truth and Reconciliation Day in Canada. I mean, I'll take the day off. But the whole, yeah, man, oh, man, that's fucked up what we did to the Native America. You would do it again. Especially the way they're like, yeah, man, you fuck. Condemn Hamas. What about the fuck? Israel's the colonizer in this story, man. What about the fact that they're behaving like fucking colonizers? All right, okay. So, you condemn Hamas. I condemn the colonizers. After we deal with the colonizers, then I'll condemn Hamas. There we go. And because I know I'm being misinterpreted as you know what? Fuck it. It's a podcast. All right. You know, here's hoping you heard it in the intention that, you know, I get the feeling one of these clips is going to get me fucking in trouble. All right. As long as, you know, as long as I don't run for politics, God forbid, run for politics or go into acting or try to host the Oscars. Yeah. You know, I stand by what I say, man. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but it would be interesting if I fast forward to the future and become the kind of person I'm like, oh man, I wish I never said any of this shit. I want to be clear. I'm not saying this to be insensitive. I know there are losses on Israel's side. I swear they have a legitimate beef. I get it. They got death, but them niggas are on a war path. Like they got bumped to war path. So meaning, it's war. What's that saying? The truth dies after the first bomb. Whatever, man. They're in war path mode. So. You know, I don't think they care. I mean, it's not that they care about public perception, but you're in warpath mode. It's like the Game of Thrones. You either win or you fucking die. I don't know. Okay. All right. I said what I said. If it's going to be if it's going to be taken in the attention it wasn't intended to, can't control that. All right. Okay. Here we go. Oh, right. I'm going to file this. Not these niggas again. I labeled this, you know what I really hate? I think I'm going to make this a bit. But you know what I really hate about racism? Having to sit on the back of the bus. Nope. Being called nigger. I mean, yeah, that bothers me. Being a second class citizen? No. There's a video right now I'm watching. I'm not going to play it, but there's a video of, I guess this was in New York. No, this is Chicago. And look, I'm going to put it out there, right? I am not a fan of the Black Israelites. I don't know any members, but I've seen them talk, and they're not nice people. And I'm watching a fucking clip of the Black Israelites counter-protesting Palestinian protesters. I hate them niggas. I fucking hate them niggas, man. Why I hate about racism is the fact that because of racism, when push comes to shove, these niggas have to be my fucking allies. If white people were to start that slavery shit, my back's against the wall, and the person with me in the trenches, who's getting shot at, who's getting bullet. That's to me. That's how you become an ally. And real allies are the ones who are dying, not just dying in the trenches on the battlefield with me. Because some of the people who are dying in the trenches with me, automatically you're an ally. Doesn't mean I like you. There's probably a few people in there that, fuck, I don't want to have a conversation with. But unfortunately, because of this fucking war, we are forced to be allies. So this is me saying, fuck. What really makes me hate racism is the fact that it forces me that I'm in a situation where I hate the Black Israelites. As a motherfucking crew. Like, what did I write that about them, man? They're not about solutions. It's all about fucking problems. It's all about, anyways, I really hate this clip of them counter-protesting, and they're being violent about it, counter-protesting with the Palestinians. You niggas have no fucking clue if you think they're the problems. Yeah, seriously, if I, Black Israelites and Trump, Black for Trumps, holy shit. I think, if I had to get rid of one, I think I would get rid of the Black for Trumps. I mean, I would get rid of the Black Israelites. I would pick Black for Trumps over. I hate, okay, yeah. That's how bad it is for Black Israelites too. And not just Black Israelites, I mean Black people like that. It's Black folks who aren't part of the problem, aren't part of the solution, and are just in the fucking way. Aren't contributing nothing to the advancement of Black folks. It's all selfishness. It's all, man, I'm just angry, man. All right, yeah. You know, sometimes I wonder if Black Israelites is equivalent to Zionists. Because back in the day, I believe they're the real Jewish people. And I don't know why they're protesting against Palestinians, but whatever. Anyways, it's a disturbing view. Fuck. What else is there? Okay. You know what? I'm going to, you know, I was going to play this. No, I'm not going to play this because I want to play the one by Neil. No, because you won't be able to see it. All right. I forget her name, but I know she is a, hold on, let me see if I see her name in there. She's on that TNT, TYT, hold on. What's funny is all the, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to play this clip. And basically, homegirl drops some, just says something that uses an analogy that's fucking gold with respect to Israel's attempt to, Israel's, oh no, we're not attacking civilians, we're attacking Hamas. Anyway, but here we go.
Ask you a very direct question.
Hold on,
do you think Israel
no.
wants to kill
yes,
innocent civilians?
I do.
You think Israel
I do.
Genuinely
I do.
Wants to?
I do.
What
I
evidence
do.
Do you have of that?
The evidence is they are refusing to do special operations and instead are relying on bombing areas where they know civilians are at, and then they'll turn around and say, "Well, Hamas is using them as human shields."
So if someone was shooting at you,
if an armed gunman grabbed your mother. Right. Had a gun to her head, okay? And he is confronted by the authorities, by law enforcement. And law enforcement, they just decide, you know what? We're not going to negotiate. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to shoot the hell out of both of them. And then they come to you and say, well, your mother, sorry, was a human shield.
Right.
Would you accept that argument?
That's not the question, though.
Would you accept that argument?
You're making up a random story that what my mother is held captive.
It's called an analogy, moron.
I don't understand.
I hate when that last guy just uses, tries to deflate. It makes no sense. You know, whatever. Anyways, that was a dope-ass analogy, man. Again, I'm no military strategist, but I'm saying there were... You know what I'm getting at? I'm you know, this is me going back to... Earlier I was talking about how I was going through this phase of I don't think I was meant to be on this earth. And I'm like, no, but maybe if people in charge were more empathetic, were more like understood human... Look, we're primitive people who still believe that win-lose. You know, I want my way, crack some head. It's not about who's right or wrong. It's about who's weak or strong. We still have that mindset. It's like, hey, I want pineapple on my pizza. The person is the other one is like, you know, I want pepperoni and cheese. This is a fucked up analogy, but whatever. It's my podcast, right? And the other guy is like, pulls out a gun and it's like, nah, pepperoni it is. That's what we're eating. When you could, there's another mindset where it's like, I want pepperoni and cheese. I want whatever, all dressed. And then we both come to thought, hey, why don't we get half this ingredient, half on the other? You know what I mean? I think the word is called synergizing. Shout out to RIP to Stephen Covey, author of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You know what I mean? Like, there's a way to get your way without putting the other person in a situation they'll resent you. That's what I'm trying to get at. A way that, like, I don't know, I don't have this, like, I don't know enough to talk about geopolitics. I'm just talking about that mindset of my way or the fucking highway, win-lose. I want this piece of property. I want this piece of land. Kind of need you to leave. Like, you know what I mean? Like, look at the other human. That was actually, that might be the title of the next position is we all want the same thing. When you can look at another human being and realize that we all want the same thing and work from that mindset. Granted, okay, like I said, also requires not working from a scarcity mentality. If I win, you lose. If you win, I lose. You know what I mean? Like I kind of wish it. I know I'm dreaming, but I kind of wish it. We were at, I don't know how we get there, the next level of consciousness in human being, where the concept of war is fucking primitive, where it's okay. You want this, I want that. Let's work it out. As opposed to you want this, I want that. I got a gun, so I get my way. You know what I mean? I can kick your ass. I get my way. Anyway, all right, okay. I've said enough about it. Yeah, again, this whole Palestine shit is fucking with me, man. All right, this one I labeled as, okay, I'm not going to play it because it's just better off, because it won't make sense if you hear it. It's better off if you watched it, right? And I labeled it under Zoe Tyler. Zoe Tyler is a content creator on TikTok that I really admire her content. Very clever woman and very clever person. Right. And she plays this clip about, the point to the clip is, well, cause it's going to segue to my last clip, right? Is I'm on the pro Israel. It's like, she's enacting people having a discussion about the Israel and Palestine situation. And one person saying, well, I'm going on the Israel side because all the good people, all our heroes, are on the pro-Israel side. And she goes, yeah, good people like who? Well, you know, the United States. And then she reminds about the United States past crime. What other country did she mention? France? Holy fuck. Basically, France, United States, England. Did she say Germany? I'm not sure. But all these countries. And she was saying, really? You're going to use all these countries as your as the moral compass just because they decide that. Like, it's so easy to tell yourself that, like, even my prime minister, Justin Trudeau, was on this, well, I condemn Hamas with the strongest. It's not the fact that he condemned Hamas, but it was more like, where the fuck was that outrage when Israel was before Hamas did what the fuck they did? Where was that pushback? Sorry. All right, let me back up. Anyways, it's just, I think some people have allowed themselves, have allowed their opinions to be influenced when it comes to the Israeli-Palestine conflict by what their favorite celebrity is saying. Hey, B, aren't you doing the same? No. No. The way I finally decided, was able to make sense of this, a bit of sense of this Palestine-Israeli conflict, is when I realized that Israel was the colonizer in the situation. And all I could do is look at it from, and I know what it's like to be the colonized and what it's like to have the world lie when every time you as the colonized try to break free, try to like, yo, enough is enough. You're the one who gets villainized. Oh my God, what the fuck? Calm the fuck down. What's wrong with you? It's like, I still remember when, what's her name? What's the name of that guy who got his penis cut off? Mary Bobbitt? Something Bobbitt? Hold on a second. Let me see if I can remember their name. Lorena Bobbitt, yes. I will never forget that story. when the story came out that she cut off her husband's dick. And yeah, everyone was like, yo, that bitch is crazy and blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know what? Okay, you know, maybe that might not be a good example to use. But the woman who, the victim of domestic abuse, who finally fights back and kills her husband. And the focus is on the whole time. You know what it is? We live in a society where we protect abusers and expect the abused to be like, calm down. Okay, please don't react. Please don't make it worse. Please don't make it worse by reacting, okay? Look, the abuser can't help themselves. The abuser can't help themselves. You need to be the bigger person. What would Jesus do? You know what I mean? It's shit like that. It's we take sides with the bad guys, because the bad guy is really to go crazy. But the abuser is usually the rational person that you could say, hey, calm down. All right, I'll heal. Look, just pray on it. Just be calm. Just wait your turn. God, Jesus, whatever the fuck will come through and help us out. But please keep taking these ass whooping. And then one day you snap. And then all of a sudden you're what the fuck? We never saw that shit coming. Yeah. How did I get to this, right? All right, okay. I was going somewhere then. Oh, right. Okay. So that previous clip by Zoe Tyler was like an answer to, basically, you know what happened between now and the last time I recorded is I found out that Amy Schumer did some fuck shit. Excuse me. Amy Schumer and Hillary Clinton. Apparently, Hillary Clinton has always been like this ain't you. I guess she's always been on that pro-Israeli tip. But here we go. I'm going to play a clip of Hillary Clinton speaking against the ceasefire. A fucking ceasefire. She's like, nah, full speed ahead. But here we go.
People who are calling for a ceasefire now do not understand Hamas. That is not possible. It would be such a gift to Hamas because they would spend whatever time there was a ceasefire in effect rebuilding their armaments, you know, creating stronger positions to be able to fend off an eventual assault by the Israelis. So we're in a very different world. I don't think it had to be the world we're in, but that's where we are, and we've got to figure our way forward through it.
Okay, you know, I just missed that last part she said. Well, I'm making sense of that last part she said. She says, look, unfortunately, we're at this fucking point. But the only way we're moving forward is we got...
Why did Israel try to cancel...
The only way we're moving forward is if we got to get gangster with Hamas. Again, Israel's on a war path. You declared war against Hamas. They pretty much have no choice to get gangster. To fuck it, carpet bomb, wipe out. Hey, can we use some nukes? Turn off the cameras, drop the nukes, and after, turn the lights back on and then say, oh, well, okay, well, looks like Hamas retreated. Making it look like, yeah, sprinkle some crack all over the place. Because the whole point to war is to fucking win. There is no... It's not like in the movies where people shake hands. No, war... Folks, if there's anything you should take away from all I'm saying, it's not, oh, he's pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, or shit like that. No, what I am saying is war sucks. War is fucking ugly. If the real beef in all this that I have is fucking war. You know what? I wish we created statues for all these diplomats out there that kept us out of war. For anyone who's, yeah, fuck, who's managed. I wish we praised people who de-escalated conflict. War sucks. So, okay, I was disappointed by Hillary Clinton's statement. But I think her point in this is, dude, we're too fucking far gone. It's too late for peace talk. It's too late, too reasonable. It's look, I picked a side, and I'm telling my side, it's like, yeah, man, fuck it. Bomb civilian. Fuck them kids. Just turn off the cameras, man, because, you know, these fucking woke liberals are going to cry about that shit. I'm not agreeing with this shit. I'm saying I understand that ugly aspect about war. And you gotta, you can't half-ass it, that shit. I guess this is, again, this shit is fucking bothering me, man. Okay, my point is, yeah, no, I was bothered by, this Hillary Clinton thing and Amy Schumer. And okay, you know what? Hillary Clinton, I can stomach more than what Amy Schumer did. Amy Schumer is just being a fucking ugly person about this shit. And she made it worse by basically she played a clip of Martin Luther King saying some pro-Zionist shit back in 19, when did he die? He died in 65, right? Yeah. So pre-1965, and Martin Luther King saying some, yeah, I believe that Israel should have their own country, their own state. Here's the thing is, I am very familiar. I actually have a relative who's on that, who is a Christian Zionist, and they believe in their whole look like the black kind of like the black Israelites. They believe in, yeah, no, Israel should have their own state, the one that God gave to them. Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna talk about black Israelites because it's weird, but yeah, but Christians believe in that shit because it's in the fucking Bible. It's like, yeah, man, give them their land, give them their state and like that, right? But the thing is, and I think that's what I've noticed about this discussion between these two is I've turned this podcast into a politics podcast. Oh well, it is what it is. All right, yeah. What was I getting at? What was I saying? I was saying, words ugly. No, I was saying, right. I want to believe that if Martin Luther King, I don't want to be like white people who. If Martin Luther King was alive today, but I would like to believe, whether or not, whatever, right, is I'm not mad at my relative who's a pro-Zionist. I'm mad if he agrees with the using genocide as a means to a fucking end. That's my problem. You know? Which brings me to the last item I had on my agenda for News and Random Thoughts. And I honestly tried to listen to the other side, to understand the Israel argument, the explanation, right? There was a clip on YouTube that just popped up in my feed. Shout out to YouTube and its algorithm. And it popped up and it says, and it was these two white guys. I specify emphasis on the fact that it was two white guys. One of them spoke, I'm not sure what his accent was, but the other one spoke like cracker-ass white. Probably he might be... from the United States, I don't know what state, but whatever, right? And the title was called Debunking the, okay, I wrote a tweet about it. I said, it's called Debunking the Notion, Debunking the Notion that Israel Stole Land from Palestinian, right? I couldn't watch it. It was a 30-minute clip, and they were just doing a lot of like, hey, well, okay, before we get to this diagram, which is very awful, and blah, blah, blah. The whole time I'm like, I kind of need you guys to get to the fucking point. Oh, okay. 2 points I was trying to I'm getting at with this is, right? I couldn't watch it. One is because every clip that I've watched explaining Israel's points, Israel's arguments, Israel's motivation, and all this, they all seem to be based on this notion that Palestinians aren't human beings. They all seem to be based on this notion that a group, these motherfuckers are in a place that they shouldn't be in, shouldn't have been in, or never claimed to be theirs. It's like equivalent to, we moved into his house because he never really signed a deed on the house. So that's why we took it. It was up for grabs. Finders keepers. Like, it all seems to be based on that fucking notion. What was the second point? Oh, second point I was going to make is I'm starting to feel like there is no understanding the other side. Or at least maybe I don't think I have the capacity to understand the other side. I was honestly trying to be the, let me try to understand both arguments so I can find a solution to it. And I'm starting to think that I don't think I have the capacity to do it. At least not in this. There's no simple solution. That's one thing for sure. Yeah, I think that's my problem. I think I'm hoping to figure out a solution and be like, hey, have we tried drinking Pepsi? You know, I don't know. but I'm starting to feel like I think this is just one of those. You got to pick a side. I was watching, you know, it's interesting. I was watching a clip by the what's it called? The Brilliant Idiot, Brilliant Idiots. And what's his name? That white dude that's on there. Anyways, he was trying to make sense of both sides. And honestly, usually sometimes that dude says shit that pisses me off. And he made an attempt at it. I'm not saying he landed it, but his attempt was kind of good. I give him an A for his effort to make an attempt at understanding, okay, if you're from Israel, if you're Jewish, you see the world this way. If you're Palestinian, you see this world that way. I'm actually going to applaud him for his attempt to do it. But honest, I think we are, I don't think there is a, we're going to be able to step back and fuck, maybe Hillary's right. Maybe we're at a point where it's too late to talk peace. It's just going to be, okay, look, duke it out, fight it over. And since Israel's got all the guns, then sayonara, Palestine. It's fucking sad, man. I'm really sorry if there's any Palestinian listening to this, because that's, you're thinking, yo, you're talking about my uncle. You're talking about my, you know, I got family there, dog. What the fuck? Yeah, I really did not mean to be insensitive about that shit. Maybe I should have put a warning at the beginning. This is more me processing feelings about a situation that's fucked up, right? I feel like the white person who's tired of hearing about racism. But imagine being fucking in that situation. That shit'll fuck you up, man. But I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. All this to say that you see me on the street waiting for the bus. That's likely what's going through my mind. No, I'm not saying to pick up, you know, hey, let's talk about Palestine. No, I'm just saying ruminating over that shit. Am I using that word right? Ruminating? Let me just make sure. Shout out to all you folks. English is their second language, or like, ruminate, to engage in contemplation. Yep, okay, to chew again. Yeah, man, it's bringing me down, man. I don't know. What is the solution? Should I stop paying attention to world event? It's yeah, man. It's fucking with me. All right, man. Let's jump to this is a long episode. What time is it? Holy fuck! Forgot. I gotta go to bed soon. I hate when I do this to myself. See, I'm beating myself up already. All right, okay. Let's jump to final thoughts, and we'll get the fuck out of here, man. Okay, final thoughts is more personal, and in a way, I'm kind of glad I got this shit off my chest. So, let's go. Let's do this. Damn, that was intense, man. I really wanna. All that I'm saying is give peace a chance. Yeah, the child in me is. Hold on, peace a chance. I feel like singing that song. Oh, that's John Lennon? Oh, holy shit. Okay. Yeah, I didn't collect. One, two, three, four. Okay. Anyway, all right. You fucking hippies. Anyways, all right. Oh, right. I forgot to mention, right? I got the, if you go in the show notes, there's an extra section called Other Links. And it's just articles that I've collected throughout the days. And yeah, most of them are related to the conflict in Israel. I mean, in Palestine, the war, the genocide in Palestine. Former Israeli ambassador in Italy goes full mask off. There's a clip out there of this guy. This military guy on the Israeli side, he says some shit like, yo, the tragedy, that's just a tragedy of war. That's basically him saying, yeah, one death is a tragedy, but a whole bunch is a statistics. And the statistics are on our side. He's talking about people. Anyways. All right. Usually the last link in there, I'm trying to make it a habit of other links, is something funny. And this content creator, I don't really know her that well, but I don't usually agree with her content, but I am a fan of her delivery. And her name is Kia, and she roasts Sexy Red. It's kind of fucking, it's dope. It's funny, and it's also like, damn. You're like kicking the door, waving the 4-4. All you heard of Kia, won't hit me no more. But all right, okay, enjoy. It's the last link in there. All right, final link. First I'm going to start again. This is kind of going to be a little heavy here, and the title is called, or the way I labeled it is, why am I considered selfish? Actually, it's called, why am I selfish? Now read it out loud. It goes, why am I called selfish for wanting to kill myself? Should I have warned you? You know, brace yourself. We're going to talk on the theme of, unaliving yourself. Why am I called selfish for wanting to kill myself? When the only reason I get as to why I shouldn't is so I don't make them feel bad. It's always them. Your friends will miss you. Your family will blame themselves. So I'm tired of living for other people. Is there no other reason for myself to live than there's no reason for me to be here anymore? Now, that's a badass clip. You know what? It's funny how I was figuring out what I was going to, final thought was going to be about, and then I read this, and it just had me thinking about, again, the moment in my life where I don't know if I was suicidal, but I do know life was fucking taxing me. Like, I was angry. I was that part inside of me that wants to live, that prevents me from killing myself, from doing any of that shit. That part was feeling like an annoyance. Like the same annoyance you have when you're on a diet and there's like a chocolate cake in your fridge. That kind of annoyance. I was starting to be angry. My will to live was a pain in the ass. Was starting to feel like a pain in the ass. If I was angry at myself, it was like, just get it over with. Couldn't get myself to do it. Again, not sure if I was suicidal, but I do know that the concept of life was fucking annoying me. And one thing that I realized, okay, again, luckily I managed to drag myself into therapy for it. I think it's I call it my own little miracle, is I managed to convince myself that, you know what, hold on a second. Before we get any drastic, let's talk to someone. Let's just say, I'll tell you what, if you can get your therapist to say, yeah, you know what, god damn, holy shit, nigga, you should do it, then that's all the convincing you need. It's a good thing I don't trust my own thought, anyway, whatever. All right, oh, wow, yeah, someone in the comment section wrote, society cares more about abusers than victims. Okay, I remember that notion of, again, don't know if I was suicidal, but I do remember being, you know, that notion of other people feel bad. I remember finally getting to that place that, nigga, you ain't gonna give a fuck. This is death we're talking about. The sweet release of consciousness. Who gives up? They'll get over it. They'll get over it. They'll tell them, see, tell them some stupid shit about it's part of Jesus's plan. They'll fucking whatever. They'll get over it at some point like any other human being. I remember reaching that point. But I also started to think about how there's a notion going on. Check on your happy friends, shit like that. I remember thinking about, please don't. Please don't. Cause the last thing I fucking see, here's the thing. My problem is, I guess it's the highly sensitive empath in me, is I had convinced myself that it was my responsibility to appease the people around me. It's my responsibility to keep everyone happy. It's my responsibility to make everyone happy. And that shit was fucking taxing. And yeah, man, no, I had the kind of relatives who fucking love that shit. It's like, yeah, I need you to make me your number, to make me your number one, your number, you know what I mean? Sure, there's God, but as far as you're concerned, I'm your God. And yeah, no, it was a fucking pain in the ass. I remember thinking, getting to that point was, you know, fuck them. I don't care if they feel bad that I killed myself, because they're part of the reason why I reached that fucking point. See, there's a lot of people walking on this earth. I think the worst kinds are the people who can't get themselves to realize that they're part of the problem. Or they can't get themselves to believe that they're part, that they might be part of the problem. I had a relative tell me, just in an argument, and it was meant to be as a means to get you to act right. And they were like, you know, you should see a shrink. And I remember thinking about, holy shit, if only you knew what my shrink was saying about you. It wasn't you should see a shrink. It was just more the, actually, I am seeing a shrink. and they're not telling me, okay, you need to do a better job conforming to their will. They were like, holy shit, I'm just realizing this ties into this whole video. The shrink wasn't saying, see, I grew up with this notion that, like I said, it was up to me to make everyone happy, and then went to see a therapist, and then the therapist was like, nah, that's bullshit. Let's fucking make your own self happy. Live your own world. You're in charge, in control. Like the concept of setting up boundaries was selfish. Like, I'm still unlearning the part of my mind that's like saying, oh man, you're prioritizing, you're giving yourself me time. How selfish of you. I'm still working on that. Focus on you, B. This is why I started the podcast with B. It's your goddamn podcast. It's me giving myself permission to do what you like. Do what you like. Na-na-na-na-na. Say what you like. Na-na-na-na-na. R.I.P. Shock G. Wait, is it Shock G? Who died again? The guy from Digital Underground. Yeah. And, yeah. People were taxing for me, man. I fucking love this quote. Okay, you know, I'm going to tie this up to what's up with the title. Okay. That clip that I played earlier. Yeah. Sorry. Why myself? And I said, yeah, I think my problem was I was caring too much about other people's feelings while ignoring my own. And, yeah, that was my problem. So what's up with today's title? I don't know. But it can't be this. Actually, I'm debating. It might be, but it can't be this. Or it might just be, I don't know. No, it's going to be, I don't know, but it can't be this. Fuck it. Long title it is. And it's a clip from, shout out to, where did I get it from? The Ziggy's Duck. And Twitter account I follow on Twitter account I follow, and he's constantly posting scenes from The Wire. You want to get on my good side? Talk about The Wire. All right. Okay. Actually, no, don't talk about The Wire, because only a selected few opinions I will entertain. But, yeah, so it was a clip from The Wire, season 3, and it was published. It came out 19 years ago. Well, actually, 19 years ago today. The caption reads, 19 years ago today, The Wire season 3, episode 6, Homecoming, premiered on HBO October 31st, 2004. Damn, that was a long time ago. Back in those days. Anyways, and two clips. There's two lines that I really love in there. First one is when Cuddy is explaining himself to Slim Charles, and actually he's explaining himself to Avon. And who am I talking about? Look, if you don't know The Wire, fucking, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast. yeah, I guess I should probably mention that part of listening to this podcast, you kind of have seen The Wire, because I'm not going to explain scenes, right? But, all right, so Cuddy's explaining himself to basically tell it to Avon, look, man, I can't do this thug shit anymore, man. And I love how he's explaining to himself to Avon, and Avon's not catching it at first. And he says, no, man, I ain't making myself clear. He's not being rude about it. He's saying, bro, I don't think you're hearing me. I'm done. What I love about this line is because it reminds me of me trying to explain to some of my relatives that I'm done with Christianity. And to them, all they hear is, oh, you mean you're having a faith, or you're backsliding, or you're just having a crisis of faith. You just need some time to talk to God and shit like that. It's like, no, you're not fucking hearing me. I'm done. This is a divorce. This relationship is over. Right. And, you're right. And the other favorite line, okay, there's three lines that I like. The one. The second one is, I don't know, and it can't be this. And the last one is when Avon says, he a man today, he a man. Like, after Avon accepts that Cuddy can't be part of the game, and strangely enough, he fucking admires that. He doesn't get mad. He's like, shit, I wish I could walk away from this game too. Love the game like Mitch. And, yeah, he shakes his hand and lets him walk away. Now, what does the quote, I don't know why what it means to me and why it's so important, is because it had me thinking of this concept of letting go of old ways. Old habits, old ways, old viewpoints. It does happen. I mean, again, in therapy, it does happen that you finally realize that a certain behavior is problematic. You need to quit. But you don't know anything else. Earlier on, I was talking about how after discovering, pornography fucked up my life. And honestly, I don't know if I will ever snap away from this addiction of these. It's sad to say, but I might end up dying being one of those guys who never pursued an actual relationship, and just, like, porn just destroyed his ability to interact with the real world, right? What I was saying, in therapy, it has happened. Like, there's other habits, there's other ways I've managed to break off of. But it does happen that you reach a point in your session or in whatever, or in your life, that you're like, okay, I can't live my life this way. You just realize that, yo, I can't do this shit anymore. But the thing is, you don't know what other options you have available. And it's so easy, because of that, it's so easy to just go back to your old ways. I love that Cuddy managed to get to the point that, yo, I've been a gangster my entire life. And now I'm realizing that I can't be a gangster anymore. And the fact that he doesn't worry, he's not thinking about, fuck, what does that mean? I'm going to have to work at McDonald's. I'm gonna have to do this. No, he's not even there yet. He just knows that I can't do this thug shit. I can't do it anymore. I can't stomach people's death anymore. I can't. Just being able to get to that point where you can say, I can't do that anymore, without knowing, well, what is there left. You don't know what you're gonna replace it with. Well, I mean, that's actually the important part. Is that's actually the scary part. That's actually the, yeah, it's important. The crucial part is, okay, now that you realize that you can't go back to your old ways, you need to be really quick. That's where the miracle comes, finding something else to substitute it with. There's this, I remember reading this thing about, you know, how to get rid of old habits, of a bad habit. And they tell you, first thing you should do is understand your current bad habit. Oh, hold on a second. I'm sorry about that. Forgot to turn off my air filter. Shit. I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but that shit must have been annoying in your ears. It wasn't mine. Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah. Bad habits. And understanding what is this bad habit feeding at the moment. Whether it's, let's say it's smoking cigarettes. Well, the thing with cigarettes, there's a good side to smoking cigarette. Understanding that, well, it's relaxing me. It's when shit is fucked up. It's just something to, like, if you can get yourself to understand that, and then step two is, what else can I do? Anyway, I think it was powerful that Cuddy's character was able to say, let go of old ways. Oh, in my case, I remember reaching up, okay, like I said, when I dragged myself into therapy, something inside me was saying, I don't know. What's that is? I don't know, but it can't be this. And yeah, in therapy, the alternative, a new way of life to think about things. It's like, have you tried, consider living on your own terms? I'm like, holy shit, I can do that? I'm allowed to do that? I didn't think that was possible. Have you tried, you know, I didn't figure it out in one take. It took me a while to realize, one of the things that I did was I just talked about Israel and I'm saying eliminated. One of the things that I did is, I don't know if you guys heard that saying that goes, before you diagnose yourself with depression, make sure you're not surrounded by assholes. So one thing I did is Donald Trump imposed, he did a Muslim ban. I had a people ban. Okay, no one, from now on, no more interacting with anyone. Until further notice, until we could figure out what the fuck is going on, no interacting with anyone. Because everyone I interacted, there was a few who were just, I couldn't tell the energy killers, the energy drainers from the energy contributors who fulfilled. So I just cut that shit out. There's a bunch of people who out there who are like, have you heard from Be Black? I mean, you know, they just don't get it. Some of you just need to, and a few of them took that shit personally. When the truth is, I was just trying to protect my own goddamn mental mindset. I was like, all I knew is cutting people out just made life a bit more bearable. It's like, now I'm trying to figure out how to get, I'm still learning how to interact with people in a way where I don't feel drained, where I'm constantly overthinking. Look, the weight of the world is already fucking with me. If you happen to be another person and you start talking to me about the troubles in your own life, there's a part of me that's going to want to listen. There's a part of me that's going to want to, maybe I could help, whatever. While not paying attention to the fact that I'm draining my own energy. I mentioned this on a past episode. I'll say it again. It's my motto, man. When it comes to the story of Jesus, it's easier for me to believe that he was born a virgin. He's a white boy who walked down in modern day Palestine with blonde hair and blue eyes. That he rose from the dead. It's easier for me to believe that he walked on water. It's easier to believe all those shit. You know the one part I refuse to believe? That motherfucker loved everyone on planet Earth. Yeah, that's the hardest part for me to believe. That everyone. I'm saying, I remember trying to mimic that shit. It's impossible for me. It's impossible for one human being to love everyone. Because there's both. Have you met us? Anyways, I'm just saying, I was trying to do the whole be like, follow Christ, be like Christ. And I'm realizing that, yeah, no, fuck that. I need to be strict about the people who are outside my capacity to love. Even, especially if they're relatives. Yeah. That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one. It's like that the crazy girlfriend who I'm thinking, yeah, again, relatives. Your names. Yeah, anyway, it's not just relatives, friends and relatives, right? Who sounded like, yeah, if you don't love me, I'm going to kill myself. Made it look like, if you don't worship me, I'm going to kill myself. Like, you know, it's, anyways. Yeah, I think bottom line is my life changed for Cuddy. It was getting out the game. Me, the new habit that I'm trying to get into, that I'm embracing, is living life on my own terms. A la, what's his name? Holy shit, this is a long podcast episode. A la Frank Sinatra. Doing it my way. That's what I'm trying to do. B, that's kind of selfish of you. Well, fuck it. It's the one thing that's preventing me from, you know, hating life. All right, okay. You know what? This is a long episode. If you made it this long, high five to you. Praise to you. Before I end, I on the list of adding shit that I want to praise myself is I finally got around to writing that email to the Black Fat Fam podcast. And it took me a while to figure out what I was trying to say, how to say it, and not say it in a way that made me come out like a corny-ass white dude. But I remember I finally sent that email. I don't know. It's probably three episodes I talked about this, right? And I'm realizing writing shit is kind of challenging for me. That's why I do this podcast. Okay, two reasons I do this podcast. One, it's my attempt to live life on my own terms. That's what this podcast is about. Two, fuck, lost track. Sending that email. Oh, right. The only reason I podcast is because when I try to write, I don't know if I have ADD. I probably do have ADD. When I try to write shit that, it just gets complicated. But when I talk in a microphone, it's like I'm forcing my ideas out of my mind. Here's the problem, right? When I write, it's either if I talk in a microphone, I speak a long time. And God bless you if you manage to follow along. Seriously, I'm like, you are unique. If you, was it 1 hour, 36 minutes of recording, minus the intro song? Yeah, if you've been following along, you are a unique human being, and I need to hear from you. Yeah, so it's either I speak into the microphone or force the idea to myself, because if I try to write it, it won't come out. It's like constipation. That's disgusting. Anyways. So I'm going to give myself a little this. Yay! Yeah. And you know what's funny? After I sent that email, I felt the same way I felt after I sent that email to the black guy who tips. And shy. It was the equivalent of talking to the girl at the party that, you know, and you're birdie. You know what I mean? And now that I put myself out there and she's looking, I'm waiting for her to be like, to react. I just felt so fucking shy and wishing that I went back into my shell. Anyways, happy I did that. And so far, the one gain I got is Dr. John Paul. I remember getting the alert that he's following me back on Twitter. And I'm calling it Twitter. Elon could go suck my dick. And so I'm like, hey, a little win. For a split second, I was feeling like a celebrity when he followed me back, and I was already working on my lifetime achievement award speech, and I think it all started when I, for a split second, I had a moment of, okay, I'm gonna be famous, or whatever, okay, and you know what, Dr. John Paul adding me, following me back on Twitter is the icing of the cake. Sending that email was the cake. All right. The other email I'm planning on sending is one to 3GO and another one to, come on, something called Emily Nicola from Detour. Actually, it's a message I've been meaning to write to Canada Land, but I think I'm going to send it to her and she can tell homie, what's his name again? God damn it. The guy who made Canada Land, he could echo my sentiment to her. But my point is, I have two more messages I need to write. It's going to be a while before I write them because these shits that I'm writing, it's like from the bottom of my heart. It's things that I mean, it's look, I've been consuming your content from a long time and this is just me responding, saying thank you. That's a lot of these messages. It's a version of I've been consuming your content and here's my feedback to it. It's positive, but usually it's me saying thank you. Let me put it this way. If I'm writing you an email, if I'm going through this fucking stress of writing this email, it's heartfelt. It's fucking heartfelt. But anyways, so two downs, two more to go, and here's hoping I end the year. One last. Yay! I did some long-term planning, and I bought my ticket for Atlanta. I'm anticipating this poetry show that should happen around that time in Atlanta. That's where I'm going. And worst case, if the poetry show doesn't happen, I'll be there for 420. Oh shit, is weed legal in Atlanta? Doesn't matter. I'll be in Atlanta during 420, but it doesn't matter. All right. Finally, this concludes today's episode. God damn, this is a long one. Who knew on a Wednesday? Yeah. Anyways, this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening, as always. If you want to holler at me, you can find me on these Twitter streets. My handle is at bblizzak or at shutuppodcast. I'm also on these TikTok streets at b.black. But if you want to find me on my home on the internet, it's shutuppodcast.com. What was that? Shutuppodcast.com. One more time for the people in the back. Shutuppodcast.com. Stop hitting the mic, B. All right, okay. And email address is shuttlepodcast401@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon podcast. And whatnot. Tell a friend to tell a friend, each one teach one. All right. Seriously, thank you for listening. And remember, first of all, an hour, 41 minutes, thank you for fucking listening. You are a unique, special human being. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? Peace in the Middle East. No, seriously. Peace in the Middle East.
I am your king now!